The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. So last weekend was a little stressful. It was lessons and carols weekend, which meant extra hours of choir rehearsal, moving that big altar and other chancel furniture out of and back into the chancel, getting 28 pew candles in place out there, programming the lighting system, making sure all the participants, including me, knew what they were doing and when. It was our Cantor Stan's first lessons and carols at first, so that upped the tension. And of course, the frigid cold and forecast of snow for Saturday night into Sunday morning really helped the dynamic. Though the cold and snowfall depressed attendance quite a bit, the service was wonderful. God was indeed glorified as we told the story of Christmas, the birth of our Savior in word and song. I should have been quite relaxed and happy and peaceful afterwards, and I thought I was. But my sleep Sunday night was marked by some of the worst anxiety dreams I can remember having in a long time. I haven't been in school for over 30 years. But in my dreams last Sunday night, I was back in college, and I hadn't merely forgotten that I had an exam that day. No, I was heading into finals, having attended no classes the entire semester, having turned in no papers or other homework the entire semester. It took me a few minutes after I woke up to convince myself that all was well. I had successfully graduated from college and graduate school, was gainfully employed, and should go back to sleep. It was weird. Now, Joseph, on the other hand, would be understandable if he was having anxiety dreams at the moment. Our gospel from Matthew this morning tells us about the situation this righteous Jewish man has found himself in. Joseph is engaged. He and his fiancé's families would likely have played a role in arranging the match, as was the custom. An engagement back then was different from what we refer to when we use the word. Being engaged was a significant commitment, a marriage contract, something that could only be ended with legal action. You might have noticed when I read the gospel that the updated translation of the Bible we began using this past summer now uses the word divorce rather than dismiss to describe how to end an engagement to help make this clear. So here they are, Joseph and Mary, bound together in a significant way, getting ready to take that last step of the marriage process, moving in together. This should be a very happy time, full of excitement, as the couple looks forward to the life they are going to build. But then comes the shocker. Mary is with child. Joseph knows it's not his. He understands how that works. And so he's got just a few options. He could make a fuss about the whole situation, how humiliated and embarrassed he is because of the scandalous behavior of his wife-to-be. A public divorce from Mary would restore dignity to him and to his family. But Joseph, as we've heard, is a righteous man and kind, apparently. Because even though he knows he really has no choice but to divorce this woman who has apparently betrayed their relationship by being with someone else, Joseph decides not to publicly disgrace her, but to handle things quietly. Maybe Mary and her child will have a chance in the world if this situation doesn't blow up into a big mess that everyone hears about. Yes, this would be about the right time for an anxiety dream, as Joseph's brain and heart is working on how exactly he is going to break the news, what he's going to say to Mary, to his family, what he's going to say when other people ask him later what happened. But when Joseph finally slumbers, his dreams are not dreams of anxiety and dread, of being trapped between a rock and a hard place, left with no options that aren't awful and full of disappointment. Now, as he sleeps, Joseph's dreams are of God. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid, the angel who comes to him says, there is another way for you. Trust God. Trust Mary. Trust that you have been chosen to be part of the great thing God is doing. That means you can't walk away, can't try to fix this mess by ridding yourself of it. Joseph, if you choose this other way, you can be part of what God is dreaming about for the world. The day when the prophecies of old are finally fulfilled, when a child shall be born who is the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, God with us, the one come to save God's people from their sin. Whatever went through Joseph's mind when he first woke up, however long it took him to get oriented back to reality as he rubbed the sleep out of his eyes, Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. It couldn't have been easy. Joseph had to swallow his pride, ignore the gossip, set aside his fear, decide to stand with Mary in whatever lay ahead for them. He had to just believe in his dream and claim this baby of God as his, giving him a name not of his own choosing, being a loving father, helping his son learn to crawl, to walk, to talk. Whether he understands it at the time or not, much will be required of Joseph in the days and years ahead. He leads his family away from home into exile to protect them from the murderous Herod. He sends his son off into a ministry marked by conflict and strife. He witnesses God's dream realized through the suffering and death of the child he has loved and raised as his own. These last few days before Christmas are days of dreaming. Dreams of the gifts we are hoping to receive, a longed-for toy or game, perhaps, or health for a loved one, peace in our family, relief from pain, security in our job, freedom from regret and shame. But there is a bigger dream for us people of God in these days. The theologian Frederick Buechner put it this way: "What keeps the wild hope of Christmas alive year after year in a world notorious for dashing all hopes is the haunting dream that the child born that day may yet be born again, even in us." During these last few days of Advent, may we dream, that Christ will be born in us, that along with a peasant woman and her righteous husband, we will help put flesh and bone on God's love and make it real in and for the world, light in the darkness. Amen.